Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with business coach and entrepreneur, Mr. Warren Coghlan, who guides entrepreneurs in building what he calls a business that matters. He's been doing that since 2002 with clients experiencing seven-figure salaries and enjoying positive impacts. I'd say so. Sounds good to me. And Mr. Coghlan, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
And the pleasure certainly is all ours. Thanks for your time. So you talk about building a business that matters. That's quite interesting and an interesting term. Describe what that is, a business that matters.
Sure, I'm happy to. But let me take a bit of a step back first. Yeah, I've long believed that entrepreneurship is one of the most powerful forces for positive social change. There's a great line in the play Rent that says the opposite of war is not peace, it is creation. And what do you as an entrepreneur do? You create. You create solutions to problems. You create jobs. You create relationships. You create wealth, opportunity. And therefore, what you do matters. And if it matters, then it matters that you do it well. So what I tried to, I basically devoted my professional life to help entrepreneurs do it well through training and coaching and planning and all that kind of good stuff. And with a little good old-fashioned kicking in the butt. But technically, a business that matters is something just a bit more than a regular business. As I say, entrepreneurship generally does good. But a business that matters is one that really intentionally creates some positive impact on the world outside itself. So it ideally gives you, the entrepreneur, the lifestyle you want, you know, income, time with family, time to focus on what you most love to do, and it makes the world or some corner of it a bit of a better place. And when it's done well, it actually gives the owner some really great benefits, right? Like freedom to live the life they want. It gives them a lot of confidence that the customers are going to be loyal to them. Gives the peace of mind that the staff is treated well and is going to be really loyal as well because they want to be part of an organization that does good in the world. And it just gives you a lot of pride knowing you're actually doing something, you know, helpful, I guess. But that's basically what I mean by a business that matters.
That is some awesome information to kick things off today. Thanks for that. Now, it sounds like an admirable objective for an entrepreneur, but how does someone know if their business actually matters and what has to be in place for that to happen?
Well, there's sort of a couple of lenses to look at that through. To be a business that matters, first, it needs to be successful as a business, right? It needs to be successful enough to have an impact. Therefore, it needs to have the core business skills that any business does to be successful: product market fit, marketing, sales, financial management, strategy, team building, customer relations, all that stuff. But the reality is that most entrepreneurs go into business for one of three reasons. Generally, they have a technical skill they want to deploy or some personal passion they want to follow, or they've been forced into it by circumstances, but generally not after a long study of business. So there's usually kind of a skills gap between what the business needs and what they have, so they got to develop that. Unfortunately, they too often do that by trial and error, and I sometimes say, you know, pin the tail on the donkey is a fun kids' party game, but it sort of sucks as a business strategy. So it's important to pursue business knowledge and skills in some way. I had one client, they were struggling when we first met, doing okay financially, but stuck. But he had a team that wasn't performing, anemic growth, no systems, that kind of thing. But after a few years of, you know, coaching and training and learning all the business skills, he wound up getting a good eight-figure exit and is now really involved in philanthropy. So that business skill part is an important element of a business that matters. And then secondly, it has to have a purpose or a values orientation. You know, while they may be driven by values or desire to do good, often the owners of these kind of businesses, they don't sit down and articulate the values that are going to drive the organization. That's not a big deal when they start out, because on their own it's just them and maybe a partner. But as the business grows, it's really easy to get knocked off course if those firm values aren't really established. So I do a lot of work to help organizations get clear on their values and the culture that they need to live by, because there's actually an interesting nuance distinction I've seen there. They need to know how they want to make the world a better place, but also how they're going to behave along the way. And I've occasionally run across folks who have what appears to be a really noble purpose, but it's weird. Because of that, they kind of feel that they can treat other people any way they want. Like, look at me, I'm noble, therefore you have to endure any kind of treatment I want to impose. But that's usually a betrayal of the values that underlie the purpose. So being really clear about how you're going to conduct yourself along the journey makes the journey way more fun. So I'd say those are really the two things, right? Skills and values.
Also, certainly some helpful information and direction there. Now, even taking that even further, how do they actually get there, especially in times as uncertain as the ones that we are in right now?
That's a great point. And so here it is in a tweetable. You need two things, the courage to take the first steps and the discipline to take the next ones. Here's what that looks like in practice. Right now, with all this COVID craziness, I've noticed a really clear trend. Whether they're thriving through the new opportunities that COVID has presented or whether they're struggling from the challenges that it's kind of tossed up in their way, most entrepreneurs remain fairly short-term in their thinking right now and often quite reactive. So to get there, especially in these kind of times, they need to lift their heads up and take a bit of a longer view. I mean, the Bank of America just the other day forecast growth of, I think it was 6.5% in 2021, which they say that's like stellar given what we've gone through. So in light of that, you got to think not just what's going on right now, but what's coming, right? Think about the difference long term that you want to make. And then I suggest not just having financial goals, but actually impact goals. For instance, one client of mine, they set an organizational goal of removing 1 billion pounds of plastic from the waste stream. So that isn't just a side goal or kind of a CSR initiative. This is the primary goal of the whole company. Now, as it turns out, that goal ladders up to really good revenue for them. So it's a great business goal as well. So when you have those goals, whether it's financial, market, impact, you then have to build the strategic plan to get you there and then execute that plan. And I will say this is where most businesses fall down. I've been coaching entrepreneurs since 2002, and I've seen at most a handful who really do strategic planning well and even fewer who execute well. And that's usually just because no one has shown them how to do it. But that's if you really want to say, I want to become a business that matters, I want to have an impact, you've got to have the path from where you are to where you want to be. And that strategic planning is the discipline that gets you there.
Awesome information so far, and I'm sure you've jazzed up quite a few people tuning in today. We're joined by business coach and entrepreneur Warren Coghlan, who guides entrepreneurs in building what he calls a business that matters. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, obviously, especially with COVID, people are really busy. How do they go about doing all that you've mentioned earlier?
Well, you know, it's the old no time plan ruse, right? Saying I'll start to plan when I get more time is a bit like saying I'll go on a diet once I lose 5 pounds. It's not really how it works, right? So why don't people have time? Why are they too busy to plan? Because they're too busy playing whack-a-mole. This is generally what happens, right? Folks start the year super keen and ambitious. They have 23 things they're going to accomplish this year. They start working on them, and then stuff comes up. They try a couple more stuff comes up. October comes around and they're really tired. They've been working super hard, but nothing much has changed. So there's probably some people listening whose faces are turning red right about now. But that's really, really common. And the problem with that is that there isn't focus. Here's the thing. If you focus on two things a quarter, you'll have made 8 significant changes over the course of a year. You show me 5 businesses that have made 8 changes or improvements like that. They're really hard to find. So your question is really, how do they go about doing that? The short answer is through focus. The mid-length answer is go through 3 phases. First, analyze what's working and not working in all of the areas of the business. Second, prioritize and plan the areas that are most likely to move the needle and ignore the other things for now, which is really the hardest thing. And then third, you have to really execute the plan. Now, the longer answer is there's 7 steps across those phases, and I won't bore you with all the details, but I will give you just the high level on what they are. So the first is to do a SWOT analysis, and that means strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. You have to go through each part of your business, marketing, sales, systems, all of it, and look at it through the SWOT lens. And for a lot of businesses, that's tough, as they just don't know what questions to ask. So I actually, when I work with clients, I use a tool I created that actually automates the whole SWOT analysis. It gives questions and then basically automatically populates the SWOT based on the answer. So it really accelerates things. But whether you do something like that or do it on your own, you got to dive deep. Then you got to set really concrete, measurable goals, but that's not enough. A lot of people stop there, but really goals are not plans. That should be a takeaway. And then third, based on the SWOT and the goals, you have to choose one, yes, just one strategic focus for the quarter. And then fourth, you have to choose the priorities for that quarter. Because sometimes under one focus, there could be a ton of issues, right? Like if you got sales problems, there could be, what's our USP? How do we recruit? How do we train? How do we sales manage? How do we price? So you can't do all of that in one quarter, so you have to prioritize. Fifth, you then have to identify the specific tactics or steps. A priority is a priority. It's not an action step. So you have to get clear on what you will do. And then the sixth thing is to schedule and delegate. That's where it gets turned into a plan. Who does what by when? If you can't answer that question, you don't have a plan. So if anyone is listening, is interested, I actually have a really simple 90-day plan template that you can just insert your goals, your focus, your priorities, who it's delegated to, and then it color codes across a Gantt chart. It has the whole thing on one page. So I don't know if I can give my email address, but if they just email me, I'm happy to send it to them. Unfortunately, my website is being redone, so I didn't have a download page for it in time for this podcast. But that's available for anyone who wants it. And then seventh is to actually execute. And that's where rubber hits the road, right? Every sports coach and every military commander will tell you that what happens on the field never perfectly reflects what's on the plan. But they'll also tell you that without the plan, they get their butts kicked. So you've got to work the plan. And that sometimes means making adjustments to it, but you must always follow the plan. Now, I know the idea of one more ebook to read doesn't exactly send chills of excitement up people's spines, but this work is so important and so transformative. I actually wrote, let's not call it an ebook, let's call it a guide, a how-to guide on all these seven steps, along with some frameworks and templates. So it'll actually guide you how to create your own strategic plan and, more importantly, how to execute it. And it's just available as a free download off my website, which is warrencoughlin.com, C-O-U-G-H-L-I-N. But that's basically the whole process that they need to go through in a nutshell. And if you do that, you'll have a plan that will guide your actions.
Now, Mr. Coughlin, here's a question for you. I've heard that saying that culture eats strategy, yet you're actually promoting strategy. Do you disagree with that statement, or how do you reconcile the statement?
That's a great question, and there's a bit of a nuance about that. Culture and strategy, in my view, make a beautiful marriage. I do a ton of work on culture. In fact, I developed refined a process that helps a company define its purpose, mission, vision, values in roughly 4 hours rather than the 2 to 3 months it usually takes. But a culture is so critical to building a business and matters. And essentially, here's the way the marriage works. Strategy says what is to be done. The culture ensures that it does get done. So you absolutely need both. So I don't think culture eats strategy, culture guides strategy.
You got to love that response. Really good stuff here today. Can't thank you enough for what you do and for joining us here today on the program. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else that you'd like to share as we do conclude today?
Sure. I'd say get your team involved in the creation of the plan. If you do it on your own in secret and then hand it down from on high, it's likely to meet with some resistance. But if your team is involved in the creation of the plan, they're going to own it. And they're going to hold each other accountable to it, and it's going to be way more successful. So the more you can get their insights and input and their decision-making and their buy-in, the better off you'll be in the process.
And of course, listeners, once again, for more information and for contact, visit warrencoughlin.com. Mr. Coughlin, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
You bet it was. Let's do it again. We've been speaking with business coach and entrepreneur Warren Coughlin, who guides entrepreneurs in building what he calls a business that matters. And for all the details, visit warrencoughlin.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.